And so as David announced, this is the last bit, the conclusion to Psalm 18, as we have been studying the righteousness of God in the Psalms. So in our Psalter, this final section will be verses 46 through 50. So we will continue studying the righteousness of the Psalms, but I kind of want to remind you of how I started this series, because it maybe seems like so long ago when I gave that first introduction of what we are to look for when looking for those examples of God's righteousness. When I started off, I suggested that when we are looking at justice in the context of God, we are speaking about the attribute of God's righteousness. Whatever God thinks and does is done perfectly and in a just manner. It is important for us to remember that God does not conform to any outside authority. He only conforms to his own character. He is consistent, and he is stable in this way. Now, I'm sure we have heard those times when people try to make claims that God does not act righteously all the time by pointing out his actions, which may conflict with their own subjective views of right and wrong. What they fail to realize is that God is not defined by the term righteous, but instead it is the term righteous that is defined by God. Throughout Scripture, we see this over and over, as God is the ultimate and supreme judge of the standards of righteousness. In this, we can be thankful that our God, the true living God, gives us the examples of his righteousness and his revealed will, his word, and law, so that we may know how to act and apply it to our own lives. As these last verses of Psalm 18 give praise to the true, just, and righteous God for all that he did in David's life, let us too look for these ways and that he does so in our own. Verses 46 through 50, as it reads in the New King James Version. The Lord lives. Be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God who avenges me and subdues the peoples under me. He delivers me from my enemies. You also lift me up above those who rise against me. You have delivered me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name. Great deliverance he gives to his king, and shows mercy to his anointed, to David and his descendants forevermore. So going back to verse 46, as we sing in our Psalter. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, my Savior God, exalted be. Let's pay attention to how that starts. The Lord lives. The Lord lives indeed. This is not the dead gods of the heathens, but the God who lives and reigns forever and ever. While heathens pray to dead ears, our God will not fail those who trust and believe in him. Because our God is a God of life, so will we have life and eternal life for those who believe the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. What God promises will be provided. And if you remember, that is one of his ways that he shows his righteousness. As God was David's rock, he is too also ours. God provided to David as David was his faithful servant. We do not have to worry about the Christian God becoming moody or bored or changing his mind, because he is also our rock. This is what we can rely upon day by day, hour by hour, every single second of our lives. He is our Savior God, and we should praise His name in all that we do, as it is His hand that causes it to be. What a good feeling it is that we can be assured that we know these things, that we can have confidence in Him and His promises. And so with this, we are to honor Him and praise His name, as He is our avenger and subduer of our enemies, and also of our woes and fears. Verse 47, "It is God that avenges me and subdues nations under me." God avenges for His people as He did for David. It is important to note that vengeance only belongs to God. We are not to carry out our own vengeance, but instead we rely upon God and also His law to carry out vengeance, as this is His righteousness in action in how He rules. Now we know that we have a public vengeance. We have a civil magistrate, and that is the authority that God has given to the civil magistrate to operate under the true God and under His law only. Romans 13, verse 4 gives us an idea of this law and a process that we should be careful to follow. Romans 13, verse 4 says, "For He is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid. For He does not bear the sword in vain. For He is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil." So there we have it, a general overview of how we are to look at God's law and how we are to carry it out when we are to punish those that are deserving of such. We must make sure to give them the opportunity to represent themselves, to be able to state their case, to not judge them unjustly. But in all things, we are to apply God's law and to use His law only to guide our actions. So, in these actions, God's wrath is displayed. And God's wrath will be felt by those who are unrepentant, and His righteousness is displayed in their judgment and punishment. Verse 48. "You saved me from my enemies, lifted me far above my foes, from rebels who against me rise. You saved me from violent men." So, we should know, God promises, and He delivers. That might sound like a cheesy line from some major evangelical movie that we may have seen pop up on Netflix or on the internet. But it is not cheesy if it's true. God promised David a succession of his seed, and that would establish God's kingdom. And this may be the most recognizable aspect of the word that we can see in God's righteousness in action. This whole succession that God, this promise that God gave to David, it not only affected just one person, but all those who believe. It was set forth for David and carried on through the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ. All of this was God's providence. By saving David from his enemies, lifting him far above them, and saving him from many violent men, God fulfilled His promise to David, as it states in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 through 16. "When your days are fulfilled, and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the blows of the sons of men. But my mercy shall not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I removed from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever." So, in these promises, as we begin to see God's righteousness, we can see how this system intermingles and it creates a whole system in which he acts consistently and logically. Now, it may be that this also helps the believer to trust in God's providence and sovereignty more. We know that this is the work of the Holy Spirit, and this is through sanctification that we do, but hearing these things and coming to believe them and trusting them more is a positive effect in our lives that we can turn to from when we are in times of trouble and when we are in doubt of God's plan for us. As we see God's promises fulfilled, we learn to not fear the unknown. We trust his law and also how he rules. We develop consistent thought patterns within ourselves that all conform to this system which God has created. And within this system, we can be joyful and give God thanksgiving as we learn to glorify him more and more in our sanctification. Verse 49. And so among the nations, Lord, my thankfulness I will give you. Before the peoples of the world, I will sing praises to your name. Let me take you to Romans chapter 15, verse 9. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this reason I will confess to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. So David knows where this glory is due. It is due to his God, the one who he gives thanks to in this verse and many verses throughout our Psalter. He doesn't give thanks just in private, though. He gives glory and honor to God before the people of the whole world. He not only gives thanks, but also he sings praises to his name, not only just speaking it, but singing it, as we do every Lord's Day, as we do in our private worship. We should note that this is before the people of the world that he does this, that he displays this to. That is important. As we, as Christians, it is important to our witness to be able to praise God and sing loudly his name, not just in jest, not only just saying it like many people do, oh, thank God for that, but really mean it and put purpose in our words. So as Paul gave us those words to the Gentiles in Romans that I just read, so did David, so that all may witness his acknowledgement of praise and also his unworthiness before the Most High and true God, as it is through God's mercy, as he realized that it is through God's mercy that his righteousness is displayed to his people. Verse 50. Great deliverance unto the king. He gives as well as his mercy to David, his anointed one, and to his seed forevermore. Now there might be some confusion here, so I wanted to clear something up. Although it states in the New King James Version, great deliverance he gives to his king. He is in capitalization, so that means God, and he's talking to his king. But I want to point out, it does not mean that David is king over God, but instead, David is God's possession and the one who God had placed on this throne. David was anointed king by the appointment of God and also delivered from his enemies by God's hand. And so it is important to realize that it was not stating David was the king of God. And some people may be confused in that way. It is important to always pay attention to context and the meaning. And so I wanted to point that out. God's mercy being displayed to his anointed can be applied to David literally, as he was God's anointed. And it is also applied to Christ as well, as he is the Messiah who was of David's seed according to the flesh. The word Messiah itself, it means anointed, And so it is fitting for both here in this context. And it is through Christ, our Messiah, that the elect are bestowed God's mercy forever in the gift of regeneration. They are bestowed this mercy in the forgiveness of sins and in everlasting salvation. This being the greatest example that I can possibly suggest for God's righteousness for saving all those who have sinned. So, as we continue our study of the Psalms, I'm encouraging everyone to look to the righteousness of God and be joyful and thankful for this awesome characteristic of our true God. If we look to God's righteousness, we can see that we can be joyful in the challenging times as much as the good times. We can learn to protect our minds from the occasion of sin by not doubting God and His sovereignty. We can gain wisdom by learning from God's rebukes and vowing to avoid the occasion of sin. When we see God's justice in the forms of life taking place, we can sit in awe and wonder as it aligns with God's revealed will, His word, and His law. It is in these times that we can truly marvel at God's majesty and realize our own need for His righteousness in our lives.